Hey everyone, this is Jordan from SleekLens.com, and welcome to the 16th episode of the Sleek Lens Photography Podcast. It feels like just yesterday I started this podcast, so it's kind of cool to have a handful of podcasts in the bin for this. So for this particular podcast, we're going to talk about landscape editing tips, or it can be editing, but most of the time it's going to be between editing and tips for taking better landscape photos in general. So these are going to be just a big group of tips here, and some of these are stuff you might already think about when you're going out to get some landscape photos. But some of these are just smaller ones that that you might think are, for lack of a better word, time wasters. But they're actually really important tips, especially for those of you who don't do, for example, the first one, who don't do research. That is the first tip, doing your research for your landscape photos. And I don't just mean going on Google Images and possibly typing in a place that you might be visiting. That's obviously a good one to incorporate, but to actually do a detailed research search for your landscape photos, that's a big thing. So what I mean by that is actually using a couple different tools that I think I've talked about before, and those are Google Maps and Google Earth. So Google Maps, obviously everybody knows what Google Maps is. It's a really great web version of Google Maps, which allows you to get directions and see satellite views and see street views and stuff like that. So if you're going to a location, number one, if you don't know exactly where it is, that's a good way to get directions. But you can also see a street view, so you get a better idea of your location. I use Google Maps sometimes if I'm going to a spot that I'm not familiar with, that I haven't been there before. But the main one is Google Earth. Google Earth can really not only give you a better idea of what you're going to be shooting, but also some really, really awesome spots around what you're going to be shooting. So let's give an example. Let's say you're going to the Eiffel Tower. Let's say you're going to go take some photos of the Eiffel Tower and in Paris, and you're going to go get the classic shots of the normal tower shots that everybody gets. But if you fire Google Earth up and you type in the Eiffel Tower and you get a nice street view of that, that's all great and good, and you'll get the same shots that normally everybody sees. However, there might be some locations around the Eiffel Tower that you might want to take photos of. So that gives you a better idea of not only the actual spot that you're going to be taking photos of, but also it's going to give you different places around there that you might see something from a satellite view and say, hey, that might be a good spot. Let me zoom in and see if there's something there that I can get another photo of while I'm there. You can also, and then this is probably the best tool that you can use for Google Earth, you can also kind of get basically like a render view of what you're going to be looking at, and you can change the time of the day depending on where you're at. It doesn't support all locations, but for most locations, you can change the time of day and you can get really awesome views depending on the overcast skies, and you can get some advanced views. So if you're going 3 months out, you can probably still get some really nice idea of the shadows that are going to be cast in a certain direction, where the sun is rising, stuff like that. So it's a really great tool, especially if you're going to a spot that you've never been before or you're not really familiar with. That's a really, really awesome tool to use. Okay, so the next tip is something that a lot of landscape photographers talk about, and a lot of photographers talk about just in general, is the time of day when you shoot. Now, I did a whole podcast on talking about why you should shoot in the golden hour. But basically, if you're shooting a landscape photos, your light is key. The light is a key to great photos. Great light is going to most likely equal a great photo, depending on you knowing all the basics of photography and all your exposure settings and composition, stuff like that. So what I would recommend is, if you can, shoot in the very early morning, in the evening, and at night. Now, a lot of people don't like that advice because it's kind of like the easy answer to get out of taking really great photos. However, if you do either one of those time frames, you're going to most likely get some great photos. So early morning shots are really great for kind of having an atmosphere to your photos. It adds typically a little bit of haze to your photos, depending on where you're at. You get nice side light coming in from where the sun is rising. Evening shots, you also get that around golden hour usually. You also get that nice side light as well. It's a little bit more warmer there. And then also night photos, you could actually go to a location that seems kind of boring and take a night photo maybe with the Milky Way or a bunch of stars in the background, and it's going to instantly look like a better photo, because typically a lot of people don't see those types of photos. You know, a lot of people with cameras these days are really liking those kind of photos, because they see photos that are typically taken from a small cell phone or some smartphone, and those phones can't typically handle that kind of photo. So obviously, if you can run out with your fancy DSLR and take a night photo, you're probably going to make a lot of people go really like, wow, you got a really awesome photo. So those are simple examples of that. But what I'm saying is I've kind of listed off three different times of the day, and neither one of those times is midday sun. You're really not going to get great photos, especially if it's a sunny day, no cloud in the sky. Probably not going to get a lot of great photos that way. But again, you're really looking for that light. You're looking for that side light, that warm light, that natural light. You can really, really, really make some really nice photos just to picking the main type of day that you're shooting in. Okay, the next tip, and this is something that I've struggled with a lot, because I feel like I'm addicted to tripods. This tip is about getting a good quality tripod. And I'm not talking about one going to the store, the general store, and grabbing a $20 tripod off the rack. I'm basically talking about getting a nice, solid metal tripod that typically would hopefully be lightweight, so you can carry it around easily. But a really solid tripod. So you might be one of those landscape photographers that just kind of like to, you know, run and gun with their camera. Maybe they don't even take a tripod with them. They'll take a camera bag and just their camera in there and go take some freehand shots, which you can certainly do. That's totally fine. However, when you have a nice solid tripod, you're really going to open up the door to a lot of different opportunities for your photography. A quick example would be compositing. So if you want to do compositing, let's say you go to a location and you want to composite a bunch of frames together. Maybe that's not an HDR technique, but you want to composite a bunch of frames together. It's going to be really hard to do that if you're freehanding it, because typically within that sort of location or that sort of idea, you have your camera set on a tripod and you click a photo and you get maybe a photo of the foreground. Maybe if you're shooting in the golden hour, you wait 20, 30 minutes without your camera moving at all, and then you see a better sky in the background, so you take another photo, and then you take those two photos in Photoshop, and you composite them all together. You're going to have a very, very difficult time of doing that if you're trying to handhold your camera and not have a tripod. So it might seem cumbersome, and it might seem a little bit of a pain to carry your tripod around, but you're really going to love the type of results that you get from having a nice quality tripod. And again, I can't stress the quality part enough. Getting a really nice tripod it might seem just kind of like a waste, because it's not something that can immediately add to your photo. But once you start getting a nice tripod and you start playing with a nice tripod and seeing all the things that you can do with them, really great tool. So if you're looking for a nice tripod, you can always hit up the sleeklens.com daily deals. That's a daily deals section of our website, where we have a lot of really good discounts via Amazon on the site. And so you can check those deals out there. You can see it on the homepage on the daily deals section, or you can go to sleeklens.com/photography-deals, and you'll find it there as well. And you can search for tripods there, type in your price range there, and you'll be able to find a nice quality tripod. And just see what kind of deals pop up there. Really great stuff. Okay, so this one's another big one. And this is, again, might be something that goes along with the research step that you're doing, but the weather. Pay attention to the weather. And so real quickly, just this is going to be kind of a quick tip, but the weather can really play a different effect to your photos. So if you have overcast skies, you're going to have a lot less contrast in your photos. You might have a little bit of a better time of getting an equal exposure around there. But if I'm shooting, trying to if I'm taking like portraits of somebody or something like that, I try to stay away from the harsh shadows. So if I'm taking a portrait of somebody, then I would prefer an overcast sky, or at least partly cloudy, so I can block out that sun, maybe get in the shade or something like that. If you want dramatic skies, you need obviously stormy skies, stuff like that. So depending on the type of mood that you want to put forth in your photos, you may really want to pay attention to the weather. That's a big thing. And there's a lot of different weather apps out there that you can put on your smartphone. The one that I like to use, unfortunately, it's only for the iOS, for iPhones and stuff like that, is called Storm. It's a really great app because my main favorite feature in that app is to easily track lightning strikes. So if you're one of those lightning hunters like I try to be sometimes, going out and trying to get real nice, cool lightning photos, you can see where the lightning strikes are in your area. And I think it shows in 100-mile radius, and you can narrow that down, obviously. But it's a really great app to see lightning strikes real time, and you can kind of have a better chance of getting stuff like that. So I know it's a kind of a niche topic there, but it's a really, really cool app, and I really like it. You can also toggle on layers as far as cloud layers and all that stuff. But it's a really great app. I definitely prefer that. Okay, and the last tip I'm going to talk about, and this one is going to call all the people that are lazy out. And what I mean by that is don't settle for easy. So landscape photography is typically not about just, you know, pulling off the side of the road and capturing a photo, getting back in the car and driving away. It's about kind of being adventurous, you know, going out and getting a great photo that typically not a lot of people see. So an example of this would be, let's say you're driving on a mountain range, and you know, you're driving your car on this mountain range, and there's like a pull off where you can, you know, get out and take in the scenery. That's great and everything. You're going to see a lot of different photos taken from that overlook because that's an easy spot to find. However, try to find a different angle. Try to find, again, a different time of day. Try to find different weather conditions. Try to find different things that you can do with sort of special effects. Again, like that compositing using a nice tripod. Different ways of doing that. Even going off to the side and maybe you find a path that you can go down and, you know, hike a half a mile or so or something like that. Find a different path that you can get to and not just settle for easy. If you settle for easy, you're just going to grab all the same exact photos that everybody sees on the internet, and it's going to just get lost in the crowd. And you don't want to do that. You want to find some really great photos. So don't settle for easy. Again, this is another one where, depending on the type of day that you want to shoot, you know, you may want to shoot in the morning. Obviously, it's going to feel so great to stay in your bed and not have to go out and take some photos in the morning if you're one of those type of people that likes to stay in bed. But again, that's easy. If you really want to get really awesome shots, get your butt out of bed and go get some really great photos. All right, guys. So those are just a few simple tips for getting better landscape photos. And the featured item for the week is actually going to go perfectly with these tips. And this is going to be the brand new video course that we just released. It's called the Landscape Photography Editing Essentials Course. It's an essentials course, so it's a smaller course than usual. But again, it's 2 hours long, 8 videos, and you get all the photos used in the course, so you can follow along with the videos as well. So the type of things that we cover in this course are, first of all, basic landscape adjustments, the type of adjustments that are typically made to almost every landscape photo. This might be some stuff to do a refresher. This might be some different ways of doing stuff that you've done before, but it's a really great way to just get like a basic overview of typical landscape adjustments that you would do to almost any landscape. Next, we're going to go over dodging and burning, and that's a really great technique that a lot of people don't actually use and utilize in their photo, but it can really bring out a lot of great detail in your photo. We're not just going to go over traditional dodging and burning. We're also going to use color with that as well to bring out certain areas of your photo. Next, we're going to talk about creating a mood, not just snapping a photo and editing it real quick, but really thinking about the mood that you want to convey as well. We're going to talk about editing with different lighting situations, different difficult situations as far as how the lighting is being cast and using HDR techniques to bring out as much of the detail and light as possible, as well as manual compositing. That's a really big one. I'm going to show you how to take photos that are not shot in the same scene, and I'm going to composite a brand new sky AI into a photo and add some different effects like reflections, removing distracting elements, and even adding some custom lighting effects as well. That's an awesome, awesome video. I really like that one. And the last three videos are going to be complete start to finish guides. I'm going to show you how to edit nightscape photos, seascape photos, and sunrise photos as well from start to finish, how to make a really great photo using just simple tools in both Lightroom and Photoshop. So if you want to see some different methods for editing your landscape photos and maybe some techniques that you haven't even thought about before, check out that Landscape Editing Essentials course. It's going to be a really great course. Everybody loves it so far. And if you want to save 10% off of that course, remember you can always use the coupon code SLEEKLENSPODCAST, all one word. And that'll get you 10% off there. You can definitely use it on that course or anything else on the site, and just check it out and see the type of cool things that you can do with your landscape photos. So thank you guys for joining me in this episode. Don't forget to rate and review the episode on iTunes. Really helps everybody out. And also go check the show notes on the Sleek Lens website. We got all the episodes loaded on there for the podcast. So go check all the show notes there. And thank you guys for joining me, and I'll see you next week.